This is Terry Cagle with Porch Matters Podcast, and you are listening to Bigfoot Club.
Hey, everybody. Robert Jesse Dominguez, Bigfoot Club. I'm here with my nephew, Steven. Steven, say what's up.
What's up?
This is Bigfoot Club, episode number 4. So how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Just, you know, trying to keep the family healthy.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks, so, for us.
Mm-hmm. The boy's birthday party was a success. So.
Yeah, it was.
Tiring, but it was a success.
We haven't done a show in a while.
No, we haven't. It's been 4 years. More like 4 weeks.
Before I get started, I just wanted to say, for everybody that's out there listening to us that hasn't hit the follow button or the subscribe button, now would be a good time to do that, because that helps us out a lot. So, you know, leave a comment, subscribe, hit follow on iTunes and Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. So do that for us. We would be greatly appreciated.
Yep. So, if you've been listening to the show and you haven't hit the follow and subscribe, I think now is the time.
Time is now.
Yep. If you listen to all the seasons too, now is the time.
So we haven't had a chance to talk about I want to say maybe 3 weeks ago.
I'm about to say about almost a month ago.
So we went over to the 209 Mystery House.
Ed 209, yes.
In Cleburne, Texas, with Googals Paranormal.
We actually had a chance to finally meet them face to face.
Yeah. We had kind of like an early dinner with them, right?
Yeah.
And we had early dinner with them in Cleburne, and I didn't know this at the time. We were just meeting up with them just to meet them and have dinner with them, right? And then they invited us to the 209 house. And I looked at you, and I go, are you okay with that?
I mean, I was like, well, yeah, I want to spend more time with them. And I felt like we owed it to them because, you know, we were supposed to meet up with them last time, and then some emergency came up. And so I'm pretty sure they were disappointed. Like, oh, man, you know, but... I think what sold it to me was the house was literally right behind the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's right here, so we might as well check it out. It can't be that bad.
It's being I guess there's a group there that actually books stuff there.
Yeah.
Tracy Mays with Wandering Souls Paranormal.
Wandering Souls.
Yeah. She was very lovely, and she was very hospitable to us, and gave us all the detail, the 411 on the house and stuff. So
she lost her voice, and she was still able to talk.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have done that. I'm a baby. When I lose my voice, I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
It hurts. It's more like a whisper, and I'm tired of it. So, yeah, kudos to her.
It was good. I mean, she gave us a ton of information.
Yep.
And she was giving the girls a ton of info and stuff. So. Mm-hmm. But when we got there, I had an H2N Zoom, and I was just carrying around with me. And, when we first walked in, I put it on top of that, like a little display table for the Wandering Souls, pamphlet and merch and info and stuff. So I put it on that table, and I just wanted to leave it to you. Well, how did you feel whenever you walked into that house?
Well, I already had a lot, because I told myself, and I know the listeners know me, I don't like going into a haunted place or a place that has a lot of activity if I don't know anything about it. And besides going to that graveyard for whenever we were just investigating that area, because there was a Bigfoot site in there. It was a graveyard for Civil War. Civil War.
Yeah.
That was probably the only thing paranormal wise that I really truly went to go investigate. This one, I was just like, I had a lot of anxiety. I was like, okay, you got this. I was telling myself, I kept telling myself whenever you were talking to the Google, I was like, I would walk away and I go, you got this. You got this. It's just a house. It's just a house.
Yeah.
And then I prayed. I prayed. And I prayed. I prayed to God, and I really was speaking out to my mom. Mm-hmm. I was like, Mom, I know you're always with me. And if Victor's here, that's great. If Bethel's here, that's great. If y'all could please just watch over my shoulder and make sure nothing, you know, happens.
Right.
So, and then I went in, and then you and I went in, and then that's whenever I walked in, I felt unbalanced. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling everybody this. I go, man, I felt like the flooring or the structure for the floor felt like it was leaning a certain side. And I kept putting more weight to my right side, and then I would move to another room, and then it'd shift. I don't know if that was just me, or I don't know if you felt that, too, when you were walking.
Yeah, because number one, it's a really old house. Yes. Was built, like, in the early 1900s, and probably, I'm trying to look for the information on here, because I don't know it, per se. I know she said it to us, but when we walked in there, I was strictly into feeling the house. Mm-hmm. Because there's been times where I can feel stuff in the house. I'm not saying I'm a median, mm-hmm. or, but you know, I just think sometimes, you know, with my condition, I'm able to channel certain things that mm-hmm. I can just feel it. So I was too busy walking around the house trying to feel the first floor, and she was talking about the history of it, and I didn't listen to it. I think it was like in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty old house. So you can see, like, some of the because I think it's all the original crown molding, and it's all the original flooring. So some of the floor from room to room was kind of uneven, mm-hmm. and you can kind of see it. Mm-hmm. So when you walk into a room, you kind of go down and then kind of go back up. And so, mm-hmm. And while we were there, I heard like somebody upstairs, like I don't know if it was a foot tap or if it was like someone, just doing a knock on the wall, mm-hmm. but I heard something upstairs, and I looked at, you were like kind of far away from me, and I looked at you and I pointed upstairs and I go,
I heard it too, but I thought it was one of y'all or something, because mm-hmm. I was too busy looking at the, they're opening up a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Right on the bottom floor.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady that was there before, I don't know who that was. She had a hat on.
Yeah, I think she was renting out that space.
Yeah, and she was just saying, oh, yeah, you know, we're, you know, setting up a coffee place right here, a little coffee shop right here. And I was just looking at that. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
You know? That's actually kind of smart. You know, when you get people doing a tour in the house,
that's very
then
smart.
You can have coffee and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So that's kind of cool.
Call it like ghostly coffee.
Yeah.
The spirits within caffeine.
I know. Paranormal brew. Yeah. So, something like that.
Yeah.
But maybe
Wandering Soul Espresso.
Yeah.
Giving you ideas, guys, if you're listening.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's just the whole, that was one thing that was, I didn't know if it was just me being not paranoid, but like me just being like alert, high alert. And I just noticed the footing was off.
Yeah.
The flooring was off. And I was like, okay, all right.
I mean, I didn't bring a K2 meter, and I didn't, you know, we weren't
expecting to do this.
No, we weren't expecting to do this, so we didn't bring a K2 meter, and we didn't do a baseline on what's in the air, because it's hard to tell whether you're off balance because of high EMF or of this just the flooring, or maybe a combination of both.
Yeah,
so
I didn't think about the high EMF. I didn't have a headache, I don't think.
No. I mean, like I said before, everybody reacts different to it.
Right.
So,
that was just my take on the first floor.
The first floor. Yeah. And so we eventually go up to the second floor, and the second floor, it has, like, let me see, 1, 2, 3. I think it had 3 rooms and a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going, and it was like, it was kind of odd a little bit. It was like a, not a spiral staircase, but it was like at an angle, like almost like an L.
Yeah.
And the handles or the railing was really, really low.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I feel like Kareem, Abdul Jabbar or something.
I'm 5'9" and it was at to my waist.
Yeah, that's.
And I was like, that's if, because they were saying too that there's some poltergeist activities do. I go, man, that's not safe being up there. And if you're by the railing, if this thing has enough power to move stuff
or push you. Yeah.
That's not safe at all. So I tried really hard not to stay by the railing.
Yeah. I was kind of hugging the wall.
Yeah.
So as we go up, Tracy goes first, mm-hmm. and then Sprague, and then Reuter went up, and I was behind them, mm-hmm. and then you were behind me, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. tell the listeners what you saw.
So we go up there, and I think quickly, what's her name? Is it Tracy?
Tracy
like went upstairs, and you could still see her like whenever you turn into the L corner. Or caddy corner, you can see the top floor from where you're at.
Right.
Not fully going up the floor, but you can
right.
see the railing and then the floor, the hallway, whatever.
Because it's all lined up.
It's all lined up. You can see the rooms, except for the bathroom, but it's on the far right. And she was explaining the bathroom, saying that...
There was like something nasty in there or something.
Yeah, no, the bathroom, she said that there's like a spirit that is... creepy, like
when you're
using the restroom, it'll open the door.
Yeah,
and it's like looking at you, seeing what you're doing. And I was like, okay. And I was like listening to that. And while she was explaining that, I think Googles were like right there by the bathroom. You were like kind of almost making your way, but they were in the way. You were trying to make your way up to the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right behind you, so there was like maybe like 5-6 steps ahead of me to fully go up the stairs as well. And I was hearing her talking about the bathroom, and then I see the rooms. They're all like, okay, then all the lights are off, and I go to the far left room. I look at it, and I was like, okay, and then I see the inside of the room.
It was like a window at the angle, right?
It was like a window. I could see the window, but there was like something dark kind of covering like the side of the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was blocking it, but I could still see it, but it was something there. I looked at it for a second, and I was like, what? What am I looking at? Is that like a curtain, or is that what is it? And then you can see the thing move away from the window, and then I could see the full window. Nothing was there, like other than the light, the street lamp. That's what it was. There was a street lamp right there,
right?
And you can see the light, but half that window was like kind of darker,
right?
And then
because that part of that corner where it dipped into. It goes into like the front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it just moved, whatever it was, it moved out of frame. It literally moved out of the door frame to the other side of that room.
Right.
Inside that bedroom. Because when you go inside that bedroom, there's the opening. I think there's two windows, one window right there where you can see through the stairs.
Yeah.
And another window. And then behind, as soon as you turn to the left, there's like an end.
It's like a real sharp.
Sharp turn to make the bedroom bigger. I don't know. It's like another small part of the room. But that's where it disappeared to.
Right.
And I was like, oh, crap. I was like, Robert. And the girls, I think the girls were in one of the rooms. And Tracy was talking. I was like, Robert, I think there's something in that room. I just saw something. In
your now, room. Let me ask you this question. Whenever you, because I didn't ask you whenever we were there. Uh-huh. Did you see it in the side of your eye or did you see it full on?
Full on.
Okay.
Because I was looking at each room. I was looking, okay, well, I couldn't see the bathroom.
It's almost like it was waiting on you, right?
Yeah, it was waiting for me to look at it. Or maybe it was just, it wasn't expecting me
to
look. But I was like looking at the girl, like, Google's looking at the bathroom. I looked at the room behind them, and then that's where it has that room had the attic.
Right.
A little small attic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a cabinet there. And then there's the other room. I was like, okay, there's another room. And then I looked at that room. I go, oh, what's wrong with that window? That was like my first thing was, what's wrong with that window? Is that a curtain?
So
and then it moved.
So as soon as you told me that, I kind of walked really fast over there.
Yeah.
Walked really fast and looked in there real quick.
Uh-huh.
I looked to my left, looked to my right. And later on when we were walking around, we noticed right across from that room is a little closet.
Mm-hmm.
And in that closet, it had a fuse box.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that was like gathering energy there and that's why.
Enough to make a...
Yeah,
somewhat of a
shadow.
See, that's the thing, though. On those, I just find it so odd. Is that it's an apparition, right?
Mm-hmm.
You consider it an apparition, but I couldn't make out any features other than it was just a shadow. So I couldn't make out if it was a male. I couldn't make out. It looked tall.
Yeah.
So and just the way it moved too is it was odd.
Yeah.
It was like as best as I can describe it is, those spirits from Ghost. How they were moving.
Yeah, yeah.
They just moved like that.
Those evil ones?
Yeah. And it just, I'm not saying it was evil. Yeah, that's what, it wasn't making that sound.
Like right.
But it just moved like that.
Actually, there's a video of that place with that sound.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Sorry.
But no, it moved out of frame, and I was like, really? And then when we're in that room, and then Tracy came out, and she goes, ah, you're in
the... She didn't know that you saw that.
No, she didn't. Because she just said, oh, you're drawn to this room or
something?
Yeah,
because a week later, she was on Googles, and the Googles were telling her that. She didn't know that you saw that shadow.
Oh, really?
No.
I thought we told her.
Nope. She didn't know.
Well, she just said that there was a nasty spirit in there that was not... Not a fan of Hispanics or people of...
Color.
Color.
Right.
Or women. Especially women.
So, what I thought was really funny that Jen goes in there.
Yeah, and she said the Hispanics was, oh, okay.
Okay, and she stepped in there quick, yeah, you know. Yeah,
started talking in Spanish.
Yeah, actually, I told her to talk in Spanish.
Oh. Okay.
Like she walked in there quick with, like, a strut, you know, like a badass that she is and stuff. And I told her, I go say it in Spanish. So yep. She started saying it in Spanish. I go, yeah. Yep. So, but when Tracy was in there, because I kind of noticed that side of the house was really close to the house next door.
Yep. The houses there were, like,
yeah,
extremely close. Like, you would think that, like the second part of the house.
Like, it's almost like you could barely fit a car between it, yeah, you know, driving through it, yep, or something. So I asked Tracy, I said, hey, what's this house next door? What's this building? And she said it was the
Cleveland Library.
Yeah, the library. And then she said that it had a full Confederate soldier suit still. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't talked about this before in the past, but I had always believed on the paranormal side, I call it paranormal bleed over. Mm-hmm. It's when you have a haunted location or ground, mm-hmm, and you know, you have spirits in that particular area, and they tend to go over to the next property because it's so close, because it could be like, you know, it could be like a stream under the property, and the ghost doesn't know,
no,
you know, property lines or nothing like that. So it may go over just because, like, you know, there's water, there's, you know, conducting, or there's like a power, from the street pole coming into that side. So it borrows that power and just comes over. So I had kind of thought that maybe this, you know, this nasty, creepy shadow person was the Confederate person just coming across and maybe just trying to see what's going on, because she was saying that this entity doesn't like color.
No.
So that's what I was just thinking, yeah, like automatically. Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's a Confederate soldier.
Right.
Looking over, you know, what's over here? You know, stuff like that.
Like that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, well, I don't know if he says it like that, but
what's over here?
Yeah.
What the hell?
You need to get out of here, yeah, right now.
Yep.
Tua.
Dumb.
I know. Sorry.
Spitting tobacco.
Like, oh, never mind. Okay. So that was a pretty good experience. And we were there, I think, I don't know how long we were there. Maybe an hour or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just say it was longer than what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Because after seeing that, I was just thinking, I go, man, like, with my luck, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to see anything. Maybe hear something.
Right.
But I'm not going to see anything. I kept telling myself, I'm not going to see anything. I'm not going to see anything. No. That's not in the cards, because I don't want to see it.
Right.
So I saw it. I saw something. And I was uneasy after that, because I don't know if it was looking directly at me. And like, right, like you said, I thought that too. Why was it waiting that long for me? Because it took
to
me
a look while. At it. Yeah,
it took me a while. Like, I knew something.
Like, you're like, scanning over there.
Yeah, like I knew that area was there. I was, mm-hmm, like, I'm gonna make my way to it. I was just assessing the environment. I was, you know, looking at each room. What was there? And I was trying to go with like listening more.
Right.
My senses for hearing was like, I would try to amplify it because I wanted to hear if I heard something, voices or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a knock, like what you heard too. So it took me about a good, maybe a full minute to finally make my way to look at that room. was it already looking? I think you would have saw it too.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right there. Because I know you probably looked over there before me.
You know, I don't recall if I did or not. I'm pretty sure I did, but I didn't see anything, but I heard stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, because after that incident, after you saw it, we didn't have anything else.
No.
Nothing else happened. I did look at the, I did have the H2N Zoom recording the whole time we were there. Mm-hmm. I came back home. I listened to, because I think we were there for 30, maybe 34 minutes. Whenever I started hitting record, or 30, 35 or 34 minutes, but we were there a lot longer. But anyway, but I heard it sounded like a cough. And I asked, I asked you to listen to it. And I asked Jen to listen to it and Sprague listen to it. And I asked him, was this you? Was you? Because it sounded like a cough to me. Mm-hmm. Like it was one of us. And it was right before we got sick, but we weren't sick then.
No.
And so I was just kind of curious. And they both think it's a cough, but I don't know if it's one of us. I don't know. I didn't ask Tracy because Tracy had a, she had a bad, I think she had a bad, you know, her voice was kind of hurting, but I don't remember.
She wasn't coughing.
I don't, I don't recall hearing her cough.
No.
And I didn't ask her if she thought it was her. I should probably ask her or send her the file. But,
I was going to ask too, like the whole, cause I've been thinking about this whole time. I prayed to God before we walked in.
Right. But I did too.
I was mostly like trying to talk to my mom. So it made me wonder if my mom was there and this thing was looking
right
at me and then my mom was there.
Yeah.
Because, but the thing is, I didn't feel like, you know, when you have that feeling when someone's staring at you.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that.
You just saw it.
I just happened to lock eyes with it. And I was like, what the heck? And it made me wonder. It was like, what's that? Who's that behind this guy?
Yeah. And then, I mean, I kind of felt like as soon as it felt we were there, it left.
Yeah.
Because like after we left, the girl,
nothing happened.
Yeah. The girls did a live TikTok and, they had some stuff going on. They had like a whistle. Mm-hmm. They had some audible alarms going off for no reason.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Just thought it was kind of weird because once we got home, we listened to, you and I watched the TikTok live and so I was
tired though.
So yeah. And I was like, when I heard the whistle, I said, there's a whistle. I typed it. There's a whistle and they heard it too. And so it was kind of weird but I felt like once we were there, I'm not saying we're the badass and we're, you know, we're Ghostbusters or something, but when we were there, you know, that shadow saw us and then left. That's what I felt. Right. And then just, it didn't come back.
Yeah, nothing else happened.
So
I felt like it, well, whatever was with us, and said no, not today. My mom went, no, sir,
not today.
Not today, sir.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I mean that you know, I never thought of that, but that actually makes me feel a whole lot better.
I was really, really, I was praying. I was like, I do not want anything to attack me or Robert or the girls. I don't want anything attaching to me. So I'm pretty sure it was looking at me. It was like, oh, yeah. Oh, damn. He got an angel.
Yeah.
Fucker.
That's good. I mean, I never even thought about that. But now that you tell me that, it actually makes me feel good. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's cool.
So,
But yeah, nothing. After that, we checked each room. I was brave enough to go to each room.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to the bathroom, though. That's the odd part. I don't know why.
I did.
I didn't even think about it.
I did. I didn't feel nothing in there.
The only thing that we were talking is that we saw the little attic, and it looked like a small
hole. Yeah, like none of you and I couldn't fit there.
No. I was like, how's that the attic? How are you going
to
get in there?
You had to be like $120 to get in there.
Not even that.
A third grader.
Maybe Sebastian, maybe?
Maybe, if he was lucky. If he didn't eat.
Yeah.
Need breakfast or lunch? Yeah, he could have got in there.
And I said, "Hey, the food's up there." Oh, okay. 20-piece chicken nugget.
So, yeah.
And after that, we went downstairs and we took a picture with the Ghoul Gals, and then we left. And
yeah, we jetted.
Yep.
I was hugging them a lot, so
yeah,
because I didn't know when I was going to see them again. So,
well, hopefully, we see them soon.
Yeah,
I keep telling Jen that, you know, I need to get that syrup bottle. Again.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
Yeah.
If I want a fucking river of syrup.
Yeah, the listeners don't know. When we were eating dinner. You ate breakfast, right?
I'm a breakfast person. I love breakfast. I don't care what time it is. It could be dinner. It could be breakfast time. It could be, you know, lunch time. I'm eating breakfast.
So Stephen orders. He orders like, what would you, a French toast?
French toast combo.
Eggs and bacon, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes to pour the syrup and the top pops off. It exploded.
I had syrup on my Apple Watch. Syrup
on your shoes.
Inside my ring. In my shoe. Oh, like on my shoes because the way it, I don't know. It was weird. And Jinjin was laughing. She's like, "Oh my god!" I was like,
yeah. "I go, do you got no syrup?"
I was like, "I need to eat this right now before it gets super sticky."
Yeah,
and like the fork, my fork was getting stuck to my skin. Like real bad because I kept holding it, and I was like, "God dang it! I need to hurry up and finish this,
dog."
So I finished it. I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna go wash my hands." And yeah,
I think even when we're at the house, he still had sticky stuff on him.
Yep, so. I did. I had to when we went to the bathroom again. At that little gas station after we left, and I had to wash my hands again.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, it was a good time though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So we're gonna move to another subject.
Take a drink.
Yeah, take a drink. You know, I've always wanted to talk about this, and I know I don't have any data to back it up, but I've always wanted to talk about it. So I think with our show, we kind of do that. We kind of talk about stuff that people don't normally talk about, mm-hmm. You know, like penises and nipples and belly buttons.
Bigfoot
and
so. Penises.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Not just, I had to correct you there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Bigfoot. Okay. Penises and nipples. Yeah. And okay. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I know I've experienced or I've interviewed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing this creature, like in East Texas and Oklahoma and Ohio and Louisiana, Arkansas. And I've always had stories of them either being red, gray, white, black, brown, tan, different colors, you know, and it's a wide spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I've always gone to like the BFRO. I looked at the sighting reports there, and sometimes they, you know, when they have sightings, they'll mention the hair color, mm-hmm. And it's mostly brown, mostly black, and it's mostly like a reddish brown.
The white ones, like you would consider that like kind of elderly
if they're tall. Yeah, I would consider
that's
that.
Mostly like up north, like yeah. Washington.
Well, I mean, I think they're everywhere, to be honest with you. But
I know, but have you ever had a sighting here in Texas about a white Bigfoot?
Yeah, there was. Really? There was one the famous one I can't think of this one right now, but it's in Fort Worth, the Lake Worth Monster.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's white.
That was in like 1950s, right?
Yeah, 50s, 60s, right. Somewhere around there.
That was the one where it looked in like a prom. Was it like a prom?
That's grandma's story. You're talking about grandma's.
Oh, wow.
So grandma went to a dance with...
In Fort Worth, right?
Yeah, with grandpa's sister and her husband. Uh-huh. It was in Fort Worth, off of Lake Worth. And as they were going in, there was people running out saying that they saw the Lake Worth Monster. And grandma didn't see it, but there was people running out. So, and the back of this dance hall, and you can look it up. Forgot the name of it, but the back of it, it's like a big old window, and you can see like the lake, and there's like an area to go out there and smoke and stuff like that. So, but that's what you're thinking on that episode. Okay. So, all
right. Well, there you go. Grandma was a part of it.
Yeah, and there's been some sightings in East Texas that I've talked to people like in like Lamar County.
I always thought the white haired Bigfoots were like up north.
I think you're just thinking about Yetis. That's what you're thinking.
No, not Yetis. It's just I've always heard that the norther you go, like north you go, like the bigger the Bigfoots are because of, you know, Washington, like their forest is like so huge.
Yeah, so much food.
So much food and it's just I don't know. For some reason, I always thought that. But yeah, go ahead.
But I was just, you know, I was thinking that, you know, they have all these different colors, you know, different spectrums and stuff like that. I had always wondered if there's actually Bigfoots that are racist.
Right.
And I know what you're thinking. You know, you're probably thinking that are they racist toward each other or are they racist toward humans, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, you were thinking that, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I was.
So I've always thought of that. And, I'm pretty sure I've looked and I've read it all around, and I don't think I've ever seen or heard of a story of two Bigfoots fighting. And they were, like, different colors. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but I always wondered, because, like, do they see that? Do they see different colors, like, in, like, their clan or their clique? Mm-hmm. You know, hey, he's brown, or hey, he's reddish brown, or hey, he's dark black, or, you know, he's tan, or he's gray, or whatever, you know? I always wondered that. Do they see each other as different, or is it, like, a hierarchy, or... You know, because they're gray or white, they're elder, do they have, like, respect or stuff like that? So, what do you think?
Or are these species kind of like dog's eyes? Are they colorblind?
That's a pretty good point, too. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Like, dogs can see color, but it's different. It's like mm-hmm. the shading's off and all that stuff. I've always wondered that, too. If they are colorblind, or they see colors differently than what we see
mm-hmm.
colors. So, but yeah, I think if I had to guess, I'd say that they're racist with the smell,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause we come in all, we have chemicals all over us. We're,
yeah. We're, detergent,
know, detergent,
soap, deodorant,
cologne sometimes. Smoking, like there's smokers yeah. and stuff like
maybe,
that.
Maybe oil from your gun.
Oil, that too. I don't know. Maybe it's just if they smell that and they don't like it, that's what you consider that. Like, no, it's not really racist. But
well, they hate the smell and they don't want it in the area. Yeah, so
it probably their nose is probably sensitive.
Yeah,
too. So if they smell that, I go, ugh, what is that?
Like, because I imagine there's probably like you know. Asshole Bigfoots, you know, that don't like anybody, you know, like other Bigfoot or even people in their area. So
they're like a Sam Loudermilk.
Yeah.
What are you doing over here?
Yeah.
It's in the woods. Go back to your city.
I know. You don't belong here.
Oh, no. Get out of this.
That actually sounds racist, though.
Go back to your town.
Go back to your condo yeah. and your scarf. Yeah. So. But I had always wondered that, and I know there's no data to back that up.
I mean,
of Bigfoot, because we don't know what they think or how they. You can only go off sighting reports how Bigfoots act.
I think let's just say it's safe to say that Bigfoot hates everybody.
Yeah, because he's not seen that often, but he's only you know they only chosen to see like a certain amount of people mm-hmm. to scare them out of the area and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So
especially those if they're willing to show themselves, I'm assuming they really want you out of that area.
Yeah, because I've always been fascinated with stories or sighting reports of Bigfoots not acting the way they're supposed to act. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always, like, Kenny told me a story of a doctor driving through a golf cart, not golf cart, a golfing range. And there was a golf range to the right, and it was woods on the left. There was a high embankment on the left. And this Bigfoot had crossed the road before this car had passed. And his Bigfoot was, you know, saw the car coming, so he crouched down like in the ditch. And the lady that was driving, she was driving her husband. They thought it was somebody that was broken down, so they stopped to ask if that person was okay, if they needed help. And when she rolled on the window, this Bigfoot turned around and looked at her, and she saw the Bigfoot. She gasped like that, and the Bigfoot did the same thing to her. He went. And then turned and then went up this steep embankment. So I've had stories like that.
That's
you know,
creepy. That's creepy.
It is creepy.
That's mocking.
Yeah, it was mocking her. Yeah. So, or I've heard stories in East Texas of this Bigfoot like just hanging, you know, just hanging near a tree, and it grab a branch and then pull the branch down, and its lips just kind of like a giraffe mm-hmm. went around the branch and just like kind of scraped. The leaves off and just chewing on the leaves. So stuff like that.
It's like almost animalistic.
Yeah, it's like stuff that normally Bigfoots don't do.
Have you had any reports of Bigfoots? Like, because everybody, even us, you and I, we can make a scary face.
Right.
You know, all it takes is like opening up your eyes more.
Yeah.
And creepy. Like, have you ever had any reports of a Bigfoot like expressing the, I guess, try to intimidate fear through their eyes by like, going like that or like.
Well, there was that one guy in East Texas that told me that that red Bigfoot killed his dog and it was showing its teeth. And it was like
that right there. It's mostly focused on his teeth, but I guess the eyes too would.
And I think Gary Lynn told us a story about either Gary Lynn or Yowie Dan. I can't remember, or maybe it was even I can't remember who told us the story, but it could even be Buck You Down. Mm-hmm. But he told a story of a guy sleeping in the woods in his car, and he had a sunroof.
So his seat was all the way back.
Yeah, he was all the way back, and that Bigfoot came over, or that Yowie came over and leaned over and scared him, like showed his teeth and gave him a scary face.
Yeah.
And the guy, you know, freaked out, jumped up, you know, put a seat up, turned on the engine and hauled ass. So.
So, yeah, like, if you were to see that, I think you're like, they know it that they're scaring.
Right.
You know, that's their intent,
mm-hmm.
is to scare. What scares me is, which ones are the ones that actually mean that they're going to do something if you don't do?
Right, right.
Or they're just fucking with you.
Well, the ones are the ones that are actually going to do something, you probably never hear the story because the person don't ever make it out of the woods.
Right.
So,
but so, the people that did,
yeah,
either had a really close call and they were able to get out of the situation before it escalated.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I always wondered like if there was any like expressions in the eyes, like. Is it full on black eyes or is it full like an animal eye?
Mm-hmm.
Like animal's eyes. Are you able to see its corneas, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like one of those things where I've heard the teeth part.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard reports of like flat face,
mm-hmm.
and they can't tell if their eyes or anything like that, but expression in the eyes. Especially like if a Bigfoot saw something that it didn't like and it rolled his eyes, like
yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, that would be interesting, right?
That would be interesting because it's not in the norm for them to act, and that would be wild to get that
or see its eyebrows go like
hey, what's up?
Like hey, like I'm here, about to ruin your fucking day. They don't leave. But yeah, that would be an interesting report, like. They saw someone's the Bigfoot's eyes, because you know, like that right there, like that would be a perfect example of a person sleeping. They have a sunroof and they see a Bigfoot's face. It's a face,
right?
And you're able to see the teeth. You got to see the eyes, somewhat of the eyes. I don't know. That's just that's the stuff that I think about on that.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I would just imagine. I don't think they're racist. I just think they just don't want people in their area.
Now, are they racist towards other Bigfoot that they don't know?
Right.
In different regions. You know, because all Bigfoots travel.
Mm-hmm.
Nomads and all that stuff. So, are they able... Are they come across a Bigfoot and they're like... So...
Yeah, so, that's where I kind of think of... And it's just me thinking outside the box. Because you know, you see an Alaskan killer Bigfoot. They had a lot of trees that were scratched.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary Lynn, and I know us, we find like stacks of trees, like in a teepee, you know, formation, or even bigger trees that are bent over, and or even Bigfoots that twist branches, or they bend the top of cedar trees and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I don't know what that language is. I don't know if it's meaning that this area belongs to them, or they've walked this way, or this is the path of going south, you know, for the winter. I don't know. Or if this is like the type of, like if they stack trees together. Because like Luke used to think that they used to stack branches together to tell what was in the area. Like Mexican plum.
Or just food.
Just food sources in general. So fig trees, pear tree, whatever, you know, whatever's in the area. Berry tree or something, or berry bush or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's, I've always thought that, but you know, you don't know that. So it's just conjecture.
Yeah. It makes me wonder how just the language, if they, what they speak and
mm-hmm.
what sounds mean, what, hell, did they even do sign language or any other type of their own sign language?
Yeah.
Too, you know, because they don't want to be heard. So if there's like a group of Bigfoot that come across us or something like that, mm-hmm. they're like, you know, they're like, you know how the military does, like,
yep.
Just some type of sign language with their hands.
You've met Billy Simmons, right?
Yes.
So you didn't get a chance to meet his dad, Senior. I'm Billy Simmons, Senior. No. So I had the opportunity of meeting him a couple times, and we were in the woods a couple times, and I sat with him, and he just taught me a bunch of stuff, and he had believed, because I think his part of this side of the family was part Native American. And he was saying that he believed that Native Americans would talk sign language to Bigfoots. Oh. And they would do hand gestures. Mm-hmm. And he would like point at his eye or his nose or his mouth or his ear or, you know, behind him or forward or his heart or something like that. He believed that they could do that. Mm-hmm. And so maybe a shaman did it, because, like, you know, if you talk to a Native American today, they don't want to talk to you about Bigfoot. You know, especially if they live still in the areas that Bigfoots are. Right. So that's just my thought. Today, we're actually recording on Sunday.
Yep.
And so we went today.
March 10th.
Yeah. So we actually went to go see Dune 2 today. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to ask you straight up, what are your thoughts on it?
It is, this generation's Empire Strikes Back.
You know, it was like I was telling you before off show, I don't get goosebumps that much from shows or movies, but I got goosebumps on this one. Mm-hmm. And the other show that I got goosebumps on was OA.
The OA, yep.
The OA, the last scene, the last scene on the last episode. So before we begin.
Spoiler alert.
So if you haven't watched Dune 2, stop the show now. Go watch it. Come back and then listen to this part.
If you read the book, though, I think you're safe.
Yeah, you're safe. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, to me, this kind of reminds me of wrestling, because it was a story that's like it was a long build up for it. And so they basically did the first book on 1 and 2, right?
Yep. So the first one that came out in 2021, 2020, I think it was 2021.
Yeah.
That was the first half of the book.
Right.
And then this part two that came out was the last half.
So when that one ended, did you feel empty or were you pissed?
No, because I knew before going in that the director said, hey, you know, This is the first half of the book, and I was like, okay, so they're probably not gonna introduce Fae Rauta or other characters like the Emperor and all that stuff.
The Righteous.
Yeah. Oh man, I can go on that. I already knew going in. A lot of people were like, it's boring, you know. And I will say this too, Brian. He's like, yeah. Like, I told him, I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing Dune Part 2 Sunday. He's like, oh, okay. All right. Like, well, what was that? He's like, you're going to hate me. I couldn't get into it, man. I couldn't get into it. Because the movie had a lot of great actors.
Yeah.
I like them. It's just, I don't know. It's just a lot of talking, and I didn't understand it.
You know, the people who say that, because I know you're a writer. I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. The people that are writers or aspire to be writers love this. Because it's a build-up.
It is a build-up.
And, you know, it's like waiting for like a crescendo and a chorus.
The breakdown. So.
So, Austin Butler, I thought was great.
Yep. And that, you know, and a lot of people say like, oh man, I still haven't seen Elvis. And a lot of people.
I haven't either.
Know his performance on Elvis. I'm pretty sure he did a phenomenal job. I'm going to watch it. But I started watching him on Masters of the Air.
Yeah.
And
that's a war movie?
A World War II show.
Okay.
On Apple Plus. So I was like, oh yeah, I like him. He's a good actor and stuff. So yeah, his portrayal as Fae Rauta
he was in it, I think it was in the back end of the movie.
Yeah.
But he's still, I mean, to be honest with you, his performance.
He's on the last hour and and a half, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he was on the scene, he stole it.
Yeah,
and it was perfect. A lot of people were complaining that they didn't show him that much. Well, they didn't really show Sting that much on the first Dune.
Yeah.
The Righteous. Yeah, I will kill him. I was kind of hoping he would say that.
Yeah, I was hoping he did too. So
okay, he didn't say the righteous part, but I will kill him.
Rebecca Ferguson.
I love her.
I love her too.
She's a fantastic actress.
You know, I think the book didn't have a big role for her, but in this movie she did. She had a big role in influencing the Furman, and she didn't have to do that to Mr. Stilgar, because he was a believer already.
Oh yeah,
he was a believer.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, he was great in this movie. Yes. He was great in this too. Paul Atreides. I mean, what's that actor's name?
Tim. I always make fun of his name. Timothy Chalamet, or something like that.
It's Chalamet.
Yeah,
Timothy Chalamet.
But his pronunciation of it, and people, he's like, I don't care. It's Timothée.
Timothée, yeah.
That's how you're supposed to say it.
Timoteo.
Timoteo, yeah, or Timothée. Timothée.
Okay.
And that's what that he's like. But people call me Timothy, so it's all good.
Christopher Walken's in this too.
I was waiting for you to say it. I was like, I'm not gonna say it. I wanted you to say it. Yeah, Christopher Walken is it. He plays the Emperor.
The Emperor. Like he was toward the back end too.
Yeah, they hardly show him, but when they did, yeah, it's Christopher Walken.
I have a fever.
Yeah.
For more spice.
I was very surprised that he wasn't really. I guess he just knows how to turn it off. He wasn't very Christopher Walken.
No, he wasn't.
He's very serious.
You know, was very serious.
And he's an asshole. So,
Paul Atreides.
Yeah.
You're talking to me in the wrong tone.
I need more spice. This spice. That's what I need.
Horse. Yeah. Fiendish. I won't do it.
I won't eat it.
Yeah. So, Josh Brolin.
Yeah, he comes back.
Florence Pugh.
I love Florence Pugh. She loves cheese.
Zendaya.
Zendaya, yeah.
Yeah, and then, what's his name? Stellan Skarsgård? He played the Baron.
Yep.
I think my favorite scene in there, and the home, you know, there's lots of scenes in there I liked, but my favorite scene in there is whenever like the Emperor's there and the Baron and
they attack.
They come into the temple. Paul Atreides just walks in, and no one gets in his way. No one stops him, and he just he goes, "Hello, grandfather," and he stabs him.
Yeah,
because it's just I don't know. It was. To me, that you know, it reminded
me, because that's how I tell people when they get into Dune. I was like, if they're gonna watch part one, I'm like, it's there's a lot of talking. There's gonna be a lot of political stuff in there,
mm-hmm.
but it's a buildup. Think of it as Star Wars meets Game of Thrones
mm-hmm.
because of the houses, the different houses.
Right.
So whenever he did that, they showed that scene. I felt like it was what's her name? From Game of Thrones, when she goes back to kill those people that were part of the Red Wedding.
Damn it,
Arya.
Arya, yeah, Arya,
yeah. Where she kills that guy,
yeah,
in cold blood. And I was like, yes, we were all waiting for that. We're like, yes, revenge. This is that moment where
Paul
goes and kills the man responsible for killing his you know his family.
Yeah, I thought because like throughout you know the very very part of the first part of the movie they were, you know everybody believes in him. He doesn't believe in like this prophecy. You know his mom spreading the rumor within the Furman of the North, mm-hmm. and Shanti is in love with him and he's in love with Shanti, mm-hmm. Paul, and he doesn't want to go south because he doesn't want to, you know, go into the prophecy. Cause I know
it's funny how they he doesn't want to go south. Like things go south.
Yeah.
All things go wrong.
Yeah.
It was good.
But they're in like in this temple, this like sacred temple that has a bunch of water. Like everybody that's passed, they pull their water out and they pour it into this big old pool
and they never touch it.
They never touch it because it's sacred.
Like it's a graveyard.
Yeah.
Literally tombstones or yeah. Graveyard.
So the Harkonnens attack this and blow it all up, mm-hmm. and they force the hand of Paul to go south. He doesn't want to,
yep.
but they force it.
Yep.
And so it's like almost like a prophecy in itself, because, you know, he didn't believe in this prophecy. Everybody else, mm-hmm. some people did, some people didn't. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
So they kind of forced it, and, you know.
Forced him to drink the water of life.
Yeah.
Because only females?
Yeah.
The
Bene Gesserit.
Yeah. They are the only ones.
That can drink it and live. It. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was interesting. It was great pacing, too. Like, nothing felt rushed.
Yeah.
It was, like, it's long. It's almost 3 hours. So there's a lot of story and a lot of background that they cover, and they explain very well that I didn't understand on their original Dune on 1984.
Yeah.
I did not understand, like, what the fuck? What is going on here?
Yeah. They were, I heard other podcast people talk about this movie, and they were talking about how they didn't like how fast the Furman killed the Harkonnens, like, so quickly in the end. But, you know, you have to think about it. They, whenever Gurney Halleck shows up, like halfway through the movie, he takes Paul and the Furman over to this this depot that has like these warheads that they could destroy any army. And so no one mentions that. I mean, they didn't get it like right away, and we were waiting, you know.
Right.
You know, we're going to destroy them now, you know, and it's like, I didn't like that assessment with these other podcasts talking about.
So now I have a rebuttal against that. If they were paying attention to the first movie, which I saw recently before we watched this one,
mm-hmm.
Duncan, Jason Momoa's character,
yeah.
he stayed with the Furman
for
like, I think a year,
yep.
A year or 2 years. And he was teaching them everything that he knows.
Hmm.
Their fighting style, the Harkonnens, all that stuff. So I'm pretty sure they learned a lot from him while he was learning from the Furmans as
yeah.
well. So a lot of people forget that.
Yeah, you're and right. You're so, totally you're so right.
Whenever they were fighting the Harkonnen, I wasn't surprised. I was like, oh, they learned from Duncan, and they respected him as a warrior.
It was. I mean, there was some CGI in this, but I think it was done so well you can't tell if it was CGI or not.
You know what the budget was on that?
What?
$190 million.
Wow.
Like $190 million, they're definitely going to get their money back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And I thought the fighting sequences and the choreography for it, that was great.
Yep.
It was like kind of reminded me of wrestling a little bit. Yep. A little bit in a way. So but like these Furman, man, they were like jumping all around, spinning and mm-hmm. and fighting two people at the same time. It was just great. I thought the build up, the story, the music, the way it ended, it was perfect. I mean, it was like there's not. And then this other guy on this other podcast was saying, you know, there wasn't enough Christopher Walken, you know, blah blah blah, Leonardo DiCaprio, you know.
You want Christopher Walken, man? Go watch Batman Returns.
I know.
Or Joe Dirt. I mean, come on, dude. He plays an asshole. It's an emperor.
Yeah.
So. No, what I thought was so cold-hearted and cold-blooded, and I laughed because I got chills.
Yeah.
Was, you know, he expresses his love to Chanti, and he's like,
yeah,
I will love you to, you know, my last breath.
Right.
And then he goes to the emperor, and he's like, I'll take your daughter's hand. Like, damn, right in front of Chanti.
He knew that once he took on the prophecy, he was out to do that.
Yeah, I know. I understood that.
And he, you know, I think she understood it too. She didn't think he was going to do it.
Yeah.
But in order to gather all the houses together, you know, to rule,
uh-huh.
then he'd have to do that. But you know, I know he's going to marry her, but he's still going to. I think the book has it where he has a child with Shanti. Yeah,
they have twins.
Yeah.
I read somewhere on that they have twins.
Yeah. So he's going to have kids with Shanti and stuff. So, but.
Jeez, I just thought that. I was like, God dang, that's cold, man.
Yeah.
Like, right in front of her. Like, I love you, but I'm taking her to marry.
Yeah. I mean, that's the deal with these houses. Like, that's what they do.
No, he had to do it. Like, this was all full-on revenge now. I read somewhere, too, that Paul Atreides, he's not the hero. He's the anti-hero.
Yeah.
A lot of people misinterpret that, oh, yeah, he's doing it for the... But no, not really. He's kind of using the Furman to get back at the house, especially the emperor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously he cares about the Furman as well. He was so intrigued with it in the very beginning of the first movie.
Yeah.
Learning how to sand walk and all that stuff, and he was interested. So I think this director is like,
he hit it.
He's every movie he's done, I'm not surprised. So it's actually really funny because Gibran really likes this director.
Yeah.
He loved Blade Runner 2049. He loved Prisoners. Prisoners is his favorite movie. He loved Arrival. So he was like, I think we were talking on Discord one time, playing video games. I was like, hey, dude, they're remaking Dune. He's like, oh, my God, really? Because he was like, we made him watch the original Dune. And he's like, I guess we're going to see nothing but penis-shaped stuff. And I was all like, oh, I hope not. And I was like, oh, it's a director that Dennis, I can never pronounce his name, Dennis Villeneuve or something like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, wait, what? I go, yeah, the director for Prisoners. He goes, I'm sold. He's gonna make the greatest Dune ever.
Yeah.
I was like, let's see. And, you know, when we saw the first trailer, he was like, oh, dude, I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
So I feel bad. He was pretty happy with that. So,
what'd you think about the last fight scene with
I loved it.
Faye Rotha.
I loved it. I loved how Austin Butler took the time and to just kind of what's his name? It's,
the Baron.
The Baron's
voice.
That's how he really talks too.
Yeah.
He did an impression of him, and he said too, like, well, he was raised by him. And he kind of it's his idol and stuff. So why not try to sound like him? Why not try to be like him?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when the whole thing where Paul's like, you know, may thy knife chip and shatter. He's like, may thy knife chip and shatter.
And I was
like, oh my God.
Sounds just like him.
I love that line. I thought that was great.
He beat up Batista pretty good too.
Oh yeah, with a sidekick. Like the sidekick you always do at the house.
Yeah.
With the box.
I gotta videotape that.
Yeah. I was really impressed with this movie, and I wanna go see it again.
Yeah.
I want to go see it in the AMC so we can get that Dune popcorn thing.
Because
we went to Cinemark, and I was an idiot. I was like, I asked her, hey, do y'all have the... She's like, no, we don't do that. That's AMC. Oh, sorry.
Did she seem, like, annoyed?
Yeah. I was like, what?
You bitch.
Why can't y'all do something, like, for Dune? Come on. You got the freaking King Kong, Godzilla.
Yeah.
Buckets. Yeah. Anyway. No, but I enjoyed it, and I'm actually really intrigued to read the books now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting...
I read the first one.
I'm getting the trilogy books, and I'm getting... I ordered two more books.
Dang.
The Paul of Dune, which takes place after the first Dune, and between Messiah, and Winds of Arrakis.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm really, really...
Yeah, I'm probably gonna want to go see it again. So.
Oh, and plus, if you get a good director who knows what how to shoot a film, and picks the right actors, and you get Hans Zimmer to do the soundtrack, 11 out of 10 times is going to be amazing. 11 out of 10 times.
What's Marvel missing on this?
Hans Zimmer.
And what else?
And
a good story.
A good story, and a really good director too. Like the directors of the Marvel movies they're good. I'm not gonna bash them.
Not recently.
No, not recently. But Marvel's still ahead of the game over DC.
Everything before Endgame. You know, there's probably a few. There's like
I like No Way Home.
No Way Home. Guardians.
Multiverse of Madness. I thought it was good. A lot of people bashing the
shit. Yeah, it was good, but most of the... After that, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And I've yet to spend money on any of those at all. So, anyway.
But you will spend money on the next Dune.
Yes.
For sure.
For sure.
This
eat it, Jungle.
Yeah, Jungle. You're missing out, man.
So, you got any shout-outs?
Shout-out to my homie, Brian. He's probably waiting on me to get on.
What up, B?
What up? He goes, when I told him that last night, I go, what up, B? What up, R?
Like, he sounded like annoyed or something.
Like he was trying to come up with something slick to say with
R. That's what Stewie calls Brian all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, B.
It reminded me of whenever you talked to, I won't say who it was, but your brother.
Yeah.
You say, hey, what's up, dog? You, pig!
Yeah. Got angry.
You get so angry for.
I know.
You got any shout-outs?
I got shout-outs to... There's a few people, like in my job. I don't want to call them out because I don't want to. But there's some employees at my job right now. They're listening to it. Thank you so much for listening to it. I really, really appreciate it. And they're been giving me some criticism on like the entry music and stuff like that. So, but it's okay. I mean, I think I'm good with critical stuff. So
yeah.
But anyway, I don't have a whole lot of shout outs, so I just wanted to say that if you're having issues with, you know, a Bigfoot or paranormal stuff or just strange stuff in general, and you need someone to talk to, or you wanted just to talk to us about this story, and it doesn't generally have to be on the podcast, so just reach out to us at BigfootClub1@gmail.com. And if you have, you know, Bigfoot and the paranormal in your area and you want help, we can find somebody in your area. If I can't help you or Steven can't help you, we can find investigators in your area that can help you. So
follow our socials too.
Yeah. Bigfoot Club One,
TikTok, Twitter,
Instagram,
Facebook, YouTube.
Yep. YouTube. So I think we're going to call it a night. I think I can do something with this show.
Yeah. And to those who are listening and stay to the end, may thy knife chip and shatter. May thy knife chip and shatter.
Good night and goodbye.